You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
So I don't know when it was that we first heard about this movie. I don't know if it was even this year or last year, but we somehow came across this trailer and we all signed on for it. We found out that that was not really going to be a possibility. The movie, of course, is North Hollywood. And the reason it wasn't a possibility is because the writer, director, producer, Mikey Alfred, was going about the old-fashioned way of schlepping his film from, you know, festival to festival, had no real distribution or big sort of production company behind him. So there was no way for us to see it. Until now. Yeah, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I personally feel that this was worth the wait. That's just my take. My name is Frank, and with me, I have got Cool Drop J, otherwise known affectionately by me as Jordan.
Sup?
And we have got also Tony Hawk's Pro Critic, known affectionately by me as Adrian.
I tip my hat to you. Yeah, I got to say, just like in the review for Together Together, I am with you on this. I got some good things to say about this movie.
Yeah. Well, we should tell everybody what's about first.
Yeah.
North Hollywood takes place, as you would guess, in the titular North Hollywood, a very suburban part of Southern California. And it deals with an 18-year-old named Michael, played by Ryder McLaughlin. And Michael is just about to graduate from high school, and he doesn't know what he wants to do. He is telling his dad, his single dad, played by Vince Vaughn, that he is applying to college, that he does intend to go to college, and his dad is pleased by that. Otherwise, he'll have to work construction with him, which he doesn't want to really do. He spends his time either being an altar boy, going to water polo, or hanging out with his friends, Jay, played by Nico Hiraga, and Adolf, played by Aramis Hudson. And they usually spend their time by the skate park, because Michael has a dream of being a pro skater. It's a dream he's sort of, I wouldn't want to say shy about, but he's really shy to admit that this is what he really, really wants enough to actually go for it. Along the way, he starts to develop a relationship with one of his classmates, the lovely Rachel, played by Miranda Cosgrove, who comes from a very, very, very wealthy family in Toluca Lake. And yeah, basically this entire span of time, the last several weeks, I guess, of high school is after high school, isn't it? Because we see a graduation, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, it's just when they graduate is how it opens up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the
Summer after.
Summer after, yeah.
Pivotal summer before going away to college.
Yeah.
And everything that entails for him. So, yeah, I thought this was charming. I thought it was really great. I fully admit it doesn't reinvent the wheel in terms of coming-of-age stories, but it definitely has a lot going for it, I thought. Cool Drop J, what do you say?
Yo, what's up? Let me tell. All right, I'm done with that. Look, I'm keeping this look now. Big coincidence. Second coming of age, sort of high school story I've watched for review on here with Tom Papadil in it. Fucking weird.
Right, Tom Papa. I thought, that's random, because you're still on Earth somewhere.
Yeah.
Know,
I mean, yeah, I love his stand-up. Yeah, this movie doesn't do anything too terribly new. I actually do really like it. I think, primarily, this movie's gorgeous to look at.
Oh, God, yes.
I think its biggest strength is definitely its production. Looks gorgeous, and yeah, no secret. I'm the bitch that graduated film school, and yeah, if I could afford it, I'd be out in California right now. But it just kind of made me yearn. It's like, God, I really need to be out there. it definitely does feel like a truly lived-in environment that is brimming with its own sort of life.
It's a sense of place factor is really strong here.
Absolutely. It is a charming movie. Although, I'll just get this problem out of the way. For 92-93 minute movie, it certainly does feel aimless at some points. That it's just kind of spinning its...
Oh, who's going to say the word first? Who's going to say that word first? That critics love to say it. It's the critic word to say this of the minute.
It feels aimless at points.
No. That's all I was saying. No. There were a couple moments where I was like, it's just going to go anywhere, but it really didn't bother me at that point. The only other confusion I had was there's a 50s theme night at a diner or soft hop. I was just even thinking, what time is this movie?
I could get the confusion with that.
Well, we can pretty much rule out, Jordan, that this wasn't the 50s.
No, for sure.
But people do. I mean, I've been to some of those places that are very 50s themed. And what's that famous place in New York? Ellen Stardust Diner is notoriously 50s themed. So I kind of thought that was cute. I thought this took place in the late 90s. That's what I was thinking.
Because that's
the thing with this movie. Well, first of all, that scene with the antique cars at the diner. If you notice, it's a bunch of old guys next to those cars. So I think it could be like, oh, this is something that they do. They meet up at Bob's Big Burger and they check those cars out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And talk and get a burger.
That's so cute, isn't that? I love that. I love that. Just that little touch.
Funny you say it reminded you like mid 90s, late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
This movie could be called mid 2000s because it's from the producer of mid 90s.
The Jonah Hill movie. Which actually featured Ryder McLaughlin in a supporting role.
Yes.
In that one. And I love mid-90s.
It even has a cameo. This movie has a cameo by the main actor from that.
Sonny Suljic?
Yes, there we go. Sonny Suljic. He pops up in here kind of playing himself. I thought that was cool, too.
Well, it's an older version of himself,
exactly.
Isn't it? Oh, okay. So it's a companion. This is a companion piece in a lot of ways.
Kinda, yeah.
Even though this is, you know, Alfred did not write that story. He only produced it.
Right.
But I feel like this is like a spiritual companion now that I'm thinking about it.
It could be a double feature.
It really does feel like it. And I bring that up because it's not only similar in theme and also it's a similar story. It's a kid who wants to get into skating as a career. Yeah. The only thing is this one is way easier to watch. Mid-90s, it's not a hardcore film, but it has some really uncomfortable subject material that it doesn't make for like casual viewing, you know? Like it's a funny movie and there's some good stuff, but then there's some like really fucked up shit that happens in that movie. Whereas this one's more like, I feel like anybody could check this out.
Well, those are two very different sensibilities I play here. This one has definitely a more gentle feel to it, that's more playful. I really thought this was, I wanted to pinpoint this between 1998 and 2001 because he says Puff Daddy at one point. I think, oh, when did Puff Daddy stop being Puff Daddy? Oh, that was in summer 2001, and he announced that it was that he was going to be P. Diddy. He's now on MTV News, and we all thought you're fucking crazy, but whatever. And now he's still P. Diddy. So what do we?
Yeah, no, that timeline checks out because I do. I did get that sort of vibe because I remember that time growing up very vividly. I'll add that to my existential crisis and therapy this week. It certainly had that like wanderlust of sorts.
Yeah.
The strongest value of this movie is the production, but I don't want to undersell the acting. The lead.
Yeah. He's good. He's so natural on camera.
Yeah, he's fucking fantastic. This is like one of the best young performances I've seen in a while.
I'm going to be really shallow. I first signed on to this because I thought it was really cute. And I think I'd like to watch a full-length movie with this cutie. Sure, why not? And I like mid-90s enough. I voted for it on AFCA that year. Nobody else voted for it, but I did.
No, hey, I'm not here to judge.
Yeah, no, he's such a natural here. And I think Vince Vaughn does some good work. And I find Vince Vaughn insufferable, usually. So
that's funny. I thought he was so good in this. I think he plays a great, like he is the all-American dad, and yet there's still some soft moments to him. But then, and then there's also a scene where it's like, oh, by the way, ever since Brawl on Cell Block 99, Vince Vaughn has to come off as intimidating. And there's a scene where he comes off as extremely intimidating, and I thought that was kind of cool too.
I love their exchanges though, like the bit with the shower curtain or with the skateboard against the wall. I mean, yeah. those got such like hearty laughs from me. I just thought I just really dig this.
Vince Vaughn is great in this. Although one exchange I particularly like is when he's trying to help his son mix concrete, and it's like, well, you got to add the lime.
Yes.
You don't know why? Yeah. Well, then sure, yeah, go ahead.
And that's why you wear gloves.
Okay, going a bit Fight Club here, but, you know, who am I to judge? I almost didn't recognize Miranda Cosgrove.
Really? Because she looks exactly the same as she
I know. It took, look.
It's not my age group. So she's, what's her claim to fame besides School of Rock?
iCarly.
Oh, right. That sounds like one of those nauseating shows that I didn't...
Drake and Josh.
And Drake and Josh.
Okay.
I grew up with Miranda Cosgrove. I know. But again, I hadn't really seen her, heard her in anything really recently. And again, it was the disconnect for like 2 seconds where I was like, wait, why does she seem familiar? Yeah, I really liked her, but I also did kind of wish we got more of Gillian Jacobs. Where I thought they might have gone with her character is like, oh, she's probably dating Vince Vaughn, and there's going to be a bit of a subplot like that.
I really don't think that would have been like, I mean, that's not this movie. I mean, that's right, exactly. that would have been out of place. I think the Miranda Cosgrove scenes have a real sort of gentility to them, just a real like sort of loveliness. And I love that it's really him exploring another side of himself. And that's so much of what this movie is, because I think what this movie really gets right is that weird place of being 18. And I was his age, more or less, in the time that this movie is set, that we think it's set in, that we're pretty sure it's set in. And, you know, it's that sensation of like your head spinning with all these different desires and ideas and expectations that people have for you and that you have for yourself, and not knowing which one to gravitate toward. I think that's what this movie really does really well.
This movie really isn't anything super unique, yet it really does go off of its charm throughout the entire thing, and I think it really, really sells it. We called it aimless, and it kind of is. I'm not sure if the IMDb is not updated, and I feel bad for not paying attention during the credits. But there's no writer. It says that there's a director, there's a producer. There's not a writer attributed to it. And there may be a writer in the credits. It may be the director. I'm not sure. But it just kind of has that feeling of like a skeleton script that gets improvised throughout. I like the aimlessness of this feeling because it feels like he's just going through his summer.
I feel like this might have been the director's story. And maybe that's because his name is Mikey. We have got a protagonist named Michael, but that might be just, you know, clutching at, you know, straws. You see, it's so funny. You guys both call it aimless and you guys haven't said the critic word of the minute. And I think you're both, you know...
I've tried to avoid film Twitter for a good while.
I say it as a big positive, though. Like, I like that it's aimless. Like, fuck a movie like Slackers. This is the type I like.
I feel like it's more slice of life than aimless. I love that when a movie can be, it doesn't need to have what Tarantino calls the plot rock and have this character just lugging around like this, you know, whatever device that the writer gives them just to keep, like, a structure going. This is about, and some films can be about, people and their environment and just atmosphere and the way, you know, exploring who they are in this environment,
no,
in this world.
I
think this movie does that phenomenally.
No, this movie does do that very well. And yeah, like Adrian said, it's not totally unique in that sort of regard, but it does have its own sort of flavor to it, how it just looks at things. I didn't have the exact same, you know, surroundings growing up, but I do honestly remember that time of being interested in skateboarding. I cannot skateboard worth a shit, but just sort of having that time and how you feel about trying to set your own expectations for yourself while trying to measure up to what others think about you. I mean,
and cling to your passion.
Exactly. Same yeah. Time. I mean, yeah. I kind of just had that sort of same feeling when I reviewed the Mitchells versus the Machines. It's just like, yeah, these movies.
Are I heard you. Yeah.
These movies are about chasing your dream. You know, trying to make sure you stay to it. Although one major difference is that when I was a teenager and I still was stuck in being an altar boy, I did not enjoy it.
Jordan, why don't you go ahead and roll into your final thoughts on that?
Yes, thank you. No, this is a beautiful looking movie. It's its production, also the music and music choices, and the score, excellent as well. Really good, solid performances, especially Vince Vaughn, who I feel like gives one of his career best performances here.
Yes,
he's absolutely outstanding, and maybe for me, just feels a bit aimless. At a few points where it's just kind of spinning its wheels. I honestly really liked it. I do highly recommend this movie. So I'm going to give it 7 fresh decks out of 10.
Adrian?
There are a lot of coming-of-age movies that are kind of style over substance, and I feel like this is a perfect mix of both. All the drama within this movie is so well acted and so well portrayed that even if you have seen something like this, it's still great to watch. You're seeing these incredible young actors just go back and forth with each other and going from friendship to heartbreak to anger to laughing. Everything that they do, I'm like the same feeling as watching mid-90s. These feel like real people. And it really feels like we're kind of just following real people in a day-to-day kind of circumstance. Also, the film looks great. I don't really recall the score that much, but the soundtrack, holy fucking shit. This soundtrack fucks. I think I must have taken out my phone to Shazam the music, like, I don't know, 6-7 times over and over again.
Yeah.
Whoever put the soundtrack together for this, they got to get together with Martin Scorsese, because clearly they're a fan of Martin Scorsese films.
There are no obvious song choices here, which
there's
I love.
There's not, and yet everything works. Also, if you watch this and you're a fan of Always Sunny, you might notice that they use some of the same free royalty music that Always Sunny uses.
I totally noticed that.
Yeah, which my girlfriend's a huge fan, and she was like, "How are people are gonna know, right? Like, there's no way you can't think of Always Sunny during that scene." But overall, I really, really like this movie. I'm not sure if I love it. I don't know if it's one of my favorites of this year, but it's one of those movies where when I first start, like the first 5 minutes of him talking to Vince Vaughn and then the scene with his friend after that, I was like, I really feel like I'm going to dig this.
Hmm.
And I did. I dug it all the way through, and I highly recommend this. This is worth the wait. I'm going to give this 4 palm tree snapbacks out of 5.
Everything I know about skateboarding, you could put on the head of the pin and still have room for the Lord's Prayer. Honestly, I know fuck all about skateboarding, and yet this film had me, and it had me because it's such a universal film. It is timeless. Its themes are timeless. You've been through this, and I really love films which I can't relate to as much. I love, you know, seeing other people's perspectives and other realities and whatnot. The most delightful thing about this is the fact that it is that you weren't sure what the future was going to hold for you. You weren't sure what you wanted from it enough to go out and get it. Everything about this rings true. There's not a single false moment in here, especially the relationships between the characters. There's a scene about between Michael and Adolf when they're having it out, and Adolf says something to the effect of, "Why would I ever be jealous of you? You're my best friend." And I thought that was such a beautiful moment. I've had really like intense talks in the past with my best friend about jealousy between us. I thought that hit home. There's so many moments in this film that hit home. It is beautiful. The soundtrack is amazing. The acting is superb. Vince Vaughn, oh my gosh. I really avoid him like the plague usually. And now, I mean, I loved every single one of his scenes. They all worked for me. On AFCA, we have a best first film category that we vote on every single year. And I gotta say, this will probably make my long list. I think it is very charming. It's very slice of life. It's about an atmosphere. It's about an environment. These people that exist within it and how it defines them and how it doesn't define them, ultimately. I think really the only thing I can fault it with really is that I wish the transitions, the scene transitions, were a little smoother. It seems like we just get plucked from one scene ends and we get put smack dab into another scene, and there's very little like movement in between. But that's such a minuscule thing to complain about when the overall effect is so wonderful at the end of the day. So really, I got to give this 9 out of 10. Haircuts I would never, ever let my dad give me. Fuck,
man,
that.
Oh,
cut off
God.
All the, cut off that gorgeous hair. I was like, no.
they shaved his hair and he looked all right. Like, that was not the fucking
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, that was it.
Like, dude.
Also, quick mention, if anyone listening to this sees the IMDb for this movie and they're like, oh man, Blake Anderson from Workaholics, I love that guy, he's in this, I want to see this, he's in one scene at the very beginning, so you're gonna be very disappointed, much like my girlfriend was.
Beyond time,
he is here and then fucks off.
Also, I gotta say that the log line for this movie on IMDb is, states, and I quote, "the first ever movie about becoming a pro skater." I can't think of a logline that undersells a movie more than that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know what, good, because you're in for a lot more.
Yeah. You're in for a lot more. Yeah, absolutely.